name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, with its very confusing and perhaps difficult to comprehend passages, St. John chapter 6, verse 40, the words of Jesus. "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." During the week, I received in the mail a copy of a order of service from a funeral in an Anglo-Catholic parish somewhere outside San Diego of someone I knew. And where it gave the details of the deceased, it's on the day of his death, it said, "Born into eternal life." The rector was quite wrong. We do not enter eternal life when we stop breathing. We enter eternal life when we are baptized. And today, one new member of the church will enter into eternal life, Finn Thomas Anthony Schreiber. When we are baptized is that moment when we receive both the pledge and the promise of eternal life with God through Jesus. This passage, John 6:40, is not the only occasion when eternal life is promised because we believe in Jesus. The well-known passage in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in today's Gospel, eternal life is referred to several times. Firstly, we see that Jesus says eternal life for us is his purpose and mission. He came to give eternal life. And not only is it his mission, it is the will of his Father, he says. Secondly, he goes on to say that our response to this great gift of eternal life is that we should believe in him. Believe in him. And of course, baptism is the first time a profession of faith in Jesus is made for a Christian. And thirdly, and most significantly, Jesus connects eternal life with receiving Holy Communion. He says, "If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." My flesh. The Greek word for flesh in John 6:51 is quite specific and can only be understood in a sacramental way. That is, in Holy Communion we receive the very body of Christ. We hardly chomp on his flesh in a natural way, but we receive his body through the Blessed Sacrament. These past few Sundays, as we have heard the Gospels from Mark 6 and John 6 read to us, and matching readings, particularly from the Old Testament, the readings have focused on the mystery of the Eucharist and the fact that somehow, in God's providence, in Holy Communion we receive the body and blood of Christ our Saviour. In particular, the first reading, the last couple of weeks, has given to us an image of the wanderings of the Jews for 40 years after the Exodus, as an image of the Eucharist with the fact that they were fed by manna from heaven. Today's reading from Deuteronomy 8 extends this image and expands it. In reviewing the Exodus and the 40 years in the desert, it talks about feeding them with manna from heaven as a pledge of God's love to his people. Because they were his people, he fed them with bread from heaven, the manna. The Latin word for pledge is sacramentum, from which we get the word sacrament. And so we refer to the Eucharist as the Blessed Sacrament, or the Most Holy Sacrament. Not that it's the only sacrament, indeed today we come to celebrate another sacrament, baptism, which is the primary sacrament. For it is baptism that makes us a Christian in the first place, and is necessary in order to receive and participate in all the other sacraments. And by its nature, and by what Christ says in the Gospel, Baptism is a pledge and promise of eternal life given to us. So when we look at the Exodus, it's not only a symbol and prototype of the Eucharist, it is also a symbol and prototype of baptism. For in the desert, water sprung from the rock at the command of Moses to satisfy their thirst, a symbol of baptism. But the great symbol of baptism we find in that event was the passing through the Red Sea, when they passed from slavery to freedom, a particular image of baptism, and also an image of Christ passing from death to life. So at Easter time, when we celebrate the resurrection, we do so in terms of the Passover. In fact, as we know, it occurred at the time of the Passover. And therefore, it was not only Christ passing from death to life symbolized by the Exodus, but through baptism, our passing from death to life. Death to life through baptism. Just as that first Exodus led to the promised land flowing with milk and honey, so when we talk of our reward in heaven, it is in terms of the promised land with milk and honey. As quaint as that may seem, it comes in many and varied hymns. I think particularly of the well-known hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, with milk and honey blessed. Now, St. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, to identify the Exodus most particularly with baptism and Holy Communion. He writes this: "Our fathers all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink." Here St. Paul consciously paints a picture of what the Exodus means for Christians, and paints a picture of life for the very first Christians in Corinth. Families and individuals baptized into the new life of Christ and sharing in the Eucharist, and both of them, baptism and Eucharist, being pledges of eternal life, such as is the image of the Exodus. Thus, the waters of baptism are a promise of eternal life to Finn Thomas Anthony Schreiber today. And that is where we make sense of our second reading today, in which St. Paul sounds off against those naughty Ephesians. He says, "You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, live up to what you received. Start living eternal life now." That is a challenge every baptized Christian must heed. We were baptized and received eternal life. We must live now as people who have received eternal life. So when we baptize Finn today, when we baptize any child, it surely reminds all of us that we have to live as children of God, walking in love, as St. Paul says in Ephesians. Let me consider one final consideration from today's readings. In the Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." Those who heard that were quite confused and could hardly understand. But this is a direct reference to what we call the incarnation. That is, in his birth, Jesus came down from heaven. He wasn't merely born of the Virgin Mary, for he always existed, and in his birth came down from heaven, as the Creed says, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. Yes, Jesus is the living bread come down from heaven. And the connection with the Eucharist is both deliberate and obvious. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and continues to do so whenever Christians gather for the Eucharist. And so you see, God the Creator uses things of his creation to give us his love, to express his love for us. The human race itself, through Blessed Mary, becomes the vehicle of God's grace. So the sacraments use things of creation, bread, wine, water, oil, to convey to us God's love and grace, and supremely, the gift of eternal life. Yes, we are born into eternal life at the beginning of our lives as Christians, not at the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.